Welcome to the Daily Brew Podcast. We got Evan Wagner here, CSCS, Strength Director at DST San Antonio, part-time DJ, follower of Christ, all of the above. Any other alphabet soup that goes with your name? Anything? Any other certs?
Hopefully one day professional dancer slash DJ.
Yeah.
maybe amateur golfer like you're interested in doing.
Amateur golfer is all we can ever hope for.
Yeah, amateur at best.
So today we just wanted to do a semi-shorter episode with our staff here at DST, and we kind of wanted to go over what we call equip, encourage, and power. It's the triple E, one of our pillars here at DST, and I just kind of wanted to pick Evan's brain about why we have that in place, what we use it for, how it affects our athletes, things like that. So, Evan, what do you think about the triple E process that we use here at DST?
Yeah, definitely. We know, of course, Lee enjoys like acronyms and everything like that. And you think like with threes, usually it's a little easier to remember for people. And especially if you're dealing with triple E, a little easier too. So just something that kind of rolls off the tongue, and it does embody what we do as, you know, a company and how we go about our business. First one, equip, encourage, and then empower. So again, with equip, just giving our athletes the skills necessary, and we use that through our principles that we go into, whether it's our trigger focus on the board, like when you talk to our athletes, I talk to them, you know, the opportunities to do that is definitely cool, because like sometimes it's questions that might not come up in normal conversation, and then you know, we can dive into those things more. And it's more than just like equipping them in their training, but also like how they take care of their bodies and their leadership and and things like that with our triggers that we do each month. And then encouraging them, which I'm excited to talk about with you as well, and how we push them to do their best and empower them to go out and make impact on people around them and then their sport. So yeah, I'm looking forward to diving into that a little bit more today.
Yeah. So I think that that's, which I've talked to you about this before, I think that that's something that like Lee has established in our company, is like, it's not just a gym without any direction.
Yeah.
We actually have this mission statement. We have the vision statement. It's all available on our website out there for everybody to see. We have these pillars, we have these focuses, and that's something that's, you know, you wouldn't expect, in my opinion, or things that I've seen that's around at other gyms. Like, you don't just like walk around, you don't see trigger focuses on a board, you don't walk around, you don't see what the vision is for the company, you don't walk around and see trainers taking the time to equip, encourage, empower their athletes and staff. I mean, because that just that those three don't go just for the athletes that we train. It is also just a foundation of our company in general. And you can see, you know, Lee embody that himself, in my opinion. He equips, encourages, and empowers each of his employees. But let's kind of like dive into it just step by step. And we can talk first about equip. And I think that, you know, one of the ways, or we equip our athletes in several ways, but one of the ways that we equip our athletes is using the trigger focuses and, of course, equipping them with not only knowledge that we know, but I mean, they might have an idea, they might have an understanding, but I feel like we're better preparing them for their day-to-day life, for their nutrition, for their periodization, for, you know, mindset, physical and nutritional. So we have a focus on each of those every single month, but we're equipping them in a way that other people, in my opinion, definitely aren't, by giving them these resources and this knowledge that in turn we get from Lee and from the rest of our company. And, you know, like what are another way, or what is another way that you think that we equip our athletes?
Yeah. One of the things that I think it kind of goes into the three E's. It comes to fruition within all of them, but like when an athlete can talk about why we do what we're doing, or like share it with someone else. Like, for example, the other day when we were in a director's meeting, we were talking about one of the locations, somebody came in to lift, and I think it was like a, let's say a recruit or somebody that was just taking a peek at the school. And the kids that had already been part of DST were like showing him how to do it and
like
rundown of everything, like just explaining it. It was like they were their own little mini coaches.
Yeah.
And I think
and that just goes with the culture.
Yeah,
the culture. Like the culture is being set that other places, again, other places don't have. It's because we have these principles, it creates a culture. And seeing that culture through our athletes that we train is pretty cool to see.
Totally. Sure. Yeah, like when you can walk in and, you know, we try to, for those tuning into the podcast, one of the things we try to do is get our some of our older athletes to impact our younger athletes and take them by the wing as well. Because, I mean, you know, me and you are available, Reagan's available, like, you know, people that work with us are available, but sometimes we don't always have the eyes and ears to be the best assistants when we're helping other kids. And so it's really special when somebody like a junior in high school helps a eighth grader out.
Yeah.
Or even an eighth grader helps a sixth grader. Like,
it's yeah, just, for sure.
Or they hold each other accountable. So I think helping create that culture is valuable because it helps you, like, you know, create consistency across the board and people just know what to expect. And I think that's definitely part of the triple E's. And as you said earlier with Lee coming from the top, you know, having meetings with him checking in on me, you know, assisting me, challenging me, praying for me, like, that's definitely really special. And, you know, probably, you know, there's a lot of good leaders out there, no doubt, but just having somebody at the helm of your company that's doing something like that, it's,
for sure,
it's, I mean, that trickles itself down when everybody, like, the people are in leadership are being poured into that way, and then they pour into the people next to them. I think that's one of them for sure.
Yeah, let's stay on this equip for a second, since you just said, you know, praying for me and stuff.
Yeah,
I feel like that me and you have both talked about that's one of the way that we equip ourselves every single day. Mm-hmm. Coming up here is we, not only me and you pray for each other, but we also pray as individuals to continue to be positive impacts in these kids' lives, no matter if that's in a spiritual way or just any way that we can positively influence these kids into a better life, maximizing their genetic potential, whatever it is. I think that prayer, in my opinion, especially for me, and I believe for you too, is one of the firm foundations that you use to be able to equip yourself to even, you know, come up here and continue to, in all reality, serve our clients. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are your thoughts on the prayer?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty cool. Recently, my girlfriend actually showed me this cool thing she had seen on like a work prayer, essentially, and like to recenter your focus, like about what you do when you come in and the impact you make. And I think it's easy to just like get caught up in the day to day, like, you know, hustle over to work, get after it, hustle home. And instead of actually taking time to reflect on like what you're there for and the impact you're making, and can definitely get caught up in things if you're not careful. And I think prayer is an opportunity to humble ourselves before God and realize it's not about us. And we partner with what he's doing, but at the end of the day, like we just can't keep going on our own strength. And so we're prone to fail and we're prone to, you know, get selfish and everything. So I think, yeah, starting with prayer and not only recentering our focus, but also being empowered to, or equipped, right? And to go and be equipped for the day to day, the challenges that might be ahead, the struggles, the setbacks, but also the good things, and not allowing our pride to get in the way. So I think, you know, the Holy Spirit definitely like not only empowers us, but also like humbles us. And I think that's, as a leader, that's my goal, is I want to be humble enough for correction, but also be bold enough to lead well. And that's been my prayer for sure a lot. And then like we talked about, is praying for our athletes, and not only that they might encounter Christ and understand the gospel and follow Christ, but also like number one, like just that we'd be able to have an impact in the way that we train them too, or the world, number two, I guess. That we would not only do good work in the way we do things, like we would work hard and have, you know, help them the best we can, but then also like that it would be more than just what we do in here. And I know, like we talked about earlier, just some of the instances that we've been able to like share and celebrate has been so special, like the way you've been able to impact these kids. And I think a lot of it starts with a relationship, right? Like,
yeah,
if you're not,
for sure.
If they don't respect you or care about you, like, it's going to be really hard to have much meaningful conversation other than telling them what to do in the weight room, right?
Exactly. So. And I think that goes along with now moving on to kind of the second step of it is the encouragement is, without us being able to encourage these kids and actually cultivate a relationship that's meaningful, these opportunities to be able to witness, to be able to grow, to be able to strengthen our athletes in whatever aspect wouldn't be available. Yeah. And I think that, you know, like one of the things that you've heard me pray about and that I continuously do is I just, you know, something super simple that I do when I walk in this door and
yep.
whenever I leave is I pray that I'm a blessing as soon as I walk in, whenever I walk out. And I think that that's just something super easy, super simple to do to be able to help these kids, because I want to be able to be open and be able to help these kids in whatever way possible, pretty much. You know what I mean? So, like, I want them to be able to feel comfortable to come up to me and talk to me, no matter if it's about lifting or about anything else. And again, that goes back to our culture. And I think that our culture is more than just a gym. It's, you know, a family. It's a way of living. And I think that that's something that's, you know, beautiful. And I don't think that me or you force any of that on anybody by any means whatsoever. But I think that we just, the way we live our life, the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we talk to these kids is different than what they've seen before. And that's whenever questions come up, you know? So I think that one of the cool things, which you can talk more about is the encouragement cards that we do.
Yeah.
So that's something like, I remember, you know, of course your parents, whenever you graduate high school and you send all these graduation things to people and your parents are like, make sure and write a thank you note, make sure and write a thank you note, or, you know, whatever, like, even though it's kind of like, seems like it's like time consuming or something like that, seeing an actual handwritten note that's like meaningful to that person, in our case we write them to our athletes, I think it really makes a world of difference. What do you think?
Yeah, totally. And kind of like what you said earlier about an opportunity to have a blessing, even just a, like one moment that day or one person, like, and I think what you said too is, it's like, that's our, like, us being Christians, not saying that, like, you know, like across the board, everybody has to be that way, like everywhere here or whatever. And that's not, you know, like it's at the core of our principles, but that, like, I know we're speaking specifically to who we are, right? Like in our walks. But it's like, it's such a great opportunity that is supported, you know, like in a place that we can be at where, you know, it's like more than just like the athletes. And I think that's so special. And like our principles guide, our principles are built on those foundations, and the encouragement cards being part of that, right? Like,
yeah,
building those relationships. And I think you do such a nice job of, and I know this is like a heart of yours, is like using your marriage to grow people and impact these kids. And they get an opportunity to see a guy that's like crazy in love with his wife and wanting to like serve her and love her well. And
yeah,
like,
for sure.
Lay down his life for her. You know, hopefully that's like, even that in itself is an impact, and just the way we live our lives. But then, you know, you create structure and you ask for, you know, the way you do things commands respect, and you have hold these kids to standards, but you also care about them enough to where they actually would want to come to you and talk to you, like they enjoy you, you know, and then they like us, and that's the hope, right? And
I feel like that I've had like a lot of coaches to learn from in my life, you know what I mean? Like, I've had a lot of coaches that are just jerks, and I've had coaches that have made meaningful impacts in my life. And one of the things that my parents used to tell me when I was a kid is, you know, like, they used to say that they're not a picture perfect marriage, but you can always learn. And one of the things they said was, take everything that we do that you like and repeat it, and take everything that you hate about what we do and throw it away.
Mm.
So that's how, in turn, they were teaching me to become better parents than what they are. And so I think that I've really taken that to heart, and not only a family aspect, but in a life aspect, because I've taken things from so many coaches that I've played for in my life, and I've taken so many good things from them, but I've also experienced so many bad things. I try my hardest not to repeat those bad things, but like I'll see, myself repeating these things from like my JUCO coach, like when I'm doing catching lessons or whatever, and I'm doing fun competitions, I'll make the loser do a punishment because one of his catchphrases was "it pays to be a winner," which that's a Navy SEAL thing, and I bought into that when I was in JUCO, and I thought it was awesome. But one of the things that he did was he never punished us to where he didn't do it himself. So he would literally say, "Okay, like you guys have this, this, and this. You got to do it in this time. You got to run, log roll, whatever." And our coach, who's 50 years old, is literally doing it right there. And so I respected him for that. And I was like, wow, I've never had a coach in my life that would actually wake up at 5 a.m. and run 3 miles with us and look over at the next guy, say, "Catch up, buddy. You're getting beat by a 50-year-old." And so like, the punishment will be like, I let them choose it. They'll be like, oh, 10 push-ups or whatever. So I'll pump out 10 with them. Or they'll say like a minute plank and I'll do a minute plank with them. I don't want them to ever see me punishing them without me going through it with them, because I think that that just creates another dynamic, another level of respect. And I think that these things that I've learned from my coaches, these the negative things, I just try my hardest not to repeat them, and I try my hardest not to handle situations in a way that would negatively impact these kids' lives. And it's hard sometimes, especially now actually being in a coaching role. You can understand where some frustration arises, but growing and which it's going to be a lifelong thing, but growing and every aspect of being a coach is forever. We're constantly growing to be better men, and constantly growing to be better coaches. So I think that what we've these foundations that, like what you're saying, that are laid out right here, are ways to help guide us so much. And having that other mindset is just take the good, keep it, throw away the bad, is one of the things that helps me a ton.
Yeah, especially in thinking about like encouragement cards again, like pointing out those good things for our athletes. Like when you
Yeah,
see
for
those
sure.
kinds of things, like, hey, I love the way you're doing this. Like your hard work, like despite your injury or whatever it might be going on. Like I think definitely, like you said earlier, a handwritten note for somebody when they're going through something or celebrating success, right? And
Yeah.
showing that we're in there and we actually care. And like you said, with the discipline element of things, like you're in it with them, you're invested in it,
Yeah.
and regardless of where it takes us in our life, like whether it's strength conditioning or not, like an opportunity to know how to like lead people and impact people, I think is so valuable, and those kinds of things mean so much.
I think it's so cool too that like whenever we hand those encouragement cards out, like a lot of our guys that are veterans up here, they know what it is. They've seen them passed out and stuff like that. And so to see like a switch just flip on their face, because like I'm not going to say any athletes' names or anything, but just like seeing like one of the recent ones we passed out, seeing an actual light bulb turn on that kid's face, and like it's like, he's like, "This is for me." It's like heck yeah, man. And he's like, "Can I read it right now?" It's like, "Yeah, dude, whatever you want. You can read it here, you can read it later," or whatever. And he's like, "Thank you, coach. Thank you." Like
Oh.
that's just like the coolest thing ever. Just seeing kids like actually get so happy and encouraged from those
Yeah,
cards. And
totally.
it's very rewarding to see those processes happen.
No joke. Like, just I think for kids to realize that, we took just taking the time to do something, it could be the most simple thing, I think, in any
Yeah.
relationship. You just go the extra mile in some way. Like, that's just a simple way that I
Yeah.
know Lee really is behind and our company likes to do. And I think that's really special for sure. And I mean, yeah, you think of like, I mean, I have birthday cards and like other
Like that you
cards
keep.
that I keep, right?
Yeah.
Like from the years from my grandma or from my
That's how
mom or
Gracie
dad.
is. Grace, I've made this joke to her before, but like we're gonna be like 80 years old, and we're gonna have like tubs of cards because she won't ever throw
Yep.
them
I
away. I'm
know.
not necessarily that sentimental about that kind of stuff, but
Yeah.
she is, and I think it's cool. I think it's
Totally.
cool.
I'm trying not to be a hoarder by any means, but
Yeah.
there's definitely something that I've like gathered that I really
Oh yeah,
enjoy, like
definitely.
some of the special milestones. But it's funny, like you'll in the moment you'll keep one of those, and then like as the years go on, you're like, I guess I don't need that one. Like I've
Yeah.
had other, milestones or whatever. So
I just can't figure out where to put it all.
I know. Yeah, storage is
Yeah.
part of the problem.
Chunk it in the attic.
Yeah, just all my like with my giant safe with all my money in it, it's like hard to it's hard to have room. I should
Yeah.
probably like make some room in
All the
there.
excess cash
Yeah,
you
all
have
that
lying
excess
around.
cash. Yeah, it's hard to keep track of. So I should probably just put it in an offshore account or something. But
Yeah.
it's just part of the lifestyle, really. So, but yeah, man, I think that's such an honor to be able to do that. And then like hearing back from these families too, like going into
Yeah.
the, building those relationships with the families is really special, because it's like again, like Lee's told me, who cares the most about their who cares the most about the athlete?
Yeah, the
The
parents.
parents, yeah,
Yeah.
because that's their child. They love their child, and they want them to succeed.
And we've gone over that part so many times where it's like, what does an athlete say when they get in the car? And it's like, how
Yeah.
was your day? Good. How was the
Good.
lift? Good. And
What'd
then
you do?
whatever.
Nothing.
Yeah.
For some kids, that actually is the case. No.
Yeah. Whenever they get in the car, it's like, and they actually do have that encouragement card, or we start a new block, or they hit a PR on a test, like
Yeah.
those are the times where, it's cool to for the parent to see those things. And that's something that, we're trying to figure out ways to get better at to really promote these kids' successes, but
Yeah.
and help, lift them up in these ways. But
Yeah, and
I
empower
think
them to
that,
go do it, right?
yeah.
Like, yeah, actually.
I think that we're doing a pretty good job in that. I mean, and I think that, the board over there was filled up with something like 40 PRs or something like that this
Yeah.
past week. And that's awesome. And I try to remind the kids in each and every single group, I'm like, hey, like, even if you only hit one, look at how many people are doing good. Like, that's your motivation. That's how you can strive to get better.
Yeah, like clearly
Things are working
things are working. Yeah,
somehow. Yeah.
exactly. Like, and that is special when kids get excited about that. I know it's hard when they're young, 'cause it's like naturally they're gonna get stronger, bigger, they're gonna get better at things, but at least like they can see like, hey, there's changes happening. Like, especially for our kids maybe that are late bloomers or
Yeah.
injuries or things like that. So.
I think the last E, the empower, is like kind of like maybe one of the most important ones, but
Oh,
it's also
backwards
one
like
of
you.
the yeah. What time is it? Yeah, backwards hat time.
It's turn up 30.
I think
Two turns up.
the empower thing is like, it's a fine line for me, because I'm trying to personally find the balance of, like, you hear, like, especially our younger group, I don't know, generations have changed. And so it's like, you want to empower these kids and help them believe in themselves. But then there's also like so many times where too much confidence might be a bad thing.
Yeah, right.
And like, I think that
Not let them think that they're him too much,
yeah, I'm better than you. I'm better than you.
I'm him.
That's the phrase that we
I'm
hear all the
better than
time.
you, yeah.
So to
I love your impression of those kids too. It's great. I'm better than you.
yeah, we gotta
You're dust, pal.
they the what are kids saying now? The him Kardashian.
Oh
So
yeah, we got our
him
him Kardashian. I
him
screwed it up the other
Kardashian.
day. Yeah,
Yeah.
I was telling these kids, and I'm like proud of myself. I'm like, yeah, they're gonna love that. And I was like, dude, I didn't even say it right. I said him Kardashian. It's supposed to be him Kardashian, or him possible, as
Yeah.
Natalie came up with. I was like, heck yeah, him possible.
These kids, like, it's like hard to know when to reel them back and then when to empower them for me. So, like, what are some of the ways that you navigate that? Because it's tough.
Yeah, totally.
I always want to encourage, and I always want to build them up, but then, like, it gets to a point where sometimes people will be like lifting and they're just like, like soaking it in that they're stronger than another person in the gym or something like that. And that's whenever, like, as a coach, you got to kind of like lay some boundaries out and be like, hey, like, this kid's working hard, man. Like, just pick him up, build him up. Like, you don't need to be taunting him or taunting her or something
Yeah.
like that because you're stronger than they are. And it's just, that's something that, you know, I've had to learn and grow in for sure. And I think that, of course, I still have more room to grow, but what are some ways that you handle that situation?
I think one of the ones is like involving the family too, you know,
Yeah.
helping, 'cause like, let's say it's like in our assessment process where we talk nutrition or talk goals and stuff, like having the family be a part of that change. Like the previous place I worked as well, like in Michigan, like I was very involved with the families and the children that I worked with. And the goal was to create change in their, you know, way of doing things at the home too.
Yeah.
I'll assist them in that. And not telling them how to run their lives, but have an opportunity to, like, you know, if it's not rewarded, it's probably not going to continue, right? Like, so, but if the environment doesn't allow it, it's also hard. Like, if you're a kid and you have the choice between, you know, pizza and you know,
broccoli,
chicken, rice, and broccoli or something like that. Yeah, what I mean, like, what are you going to choose, right?
Yeah.
But if it's encouraged and they've realized the value of it and the family's behind it, I think there's a lot of value in empowering them to go and make those decisions because they have that support.
Yeah.
And then in the weight room side of things, like, I think one of the things is like getting, like you talked about, like instead of taunting or, you know, oh, would you jump? Ha, I jumped 3 inches further.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of those kinds of things, just being more like for the kids that are working hard, like being there to challenge them and encourage them, you know, it's like they can compete without necessarily like chirping each other.
Well, I kind of always, if somebody's like, I got what you said, 3 inches longer than you did on the jump, I look at the other kid and I'm like, beat him, let's go.
Yeah.
And I try to use it a little bit
as
fuel. And I can tell, especially with the younger group, if they end up losing in the end or something like that, they're pretty upset about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey man, like, even though you're upset, that just shows that you care. You know, like I'm happy that you care and I'm happy that you want to get better and that you're trying to, you know, do better. As like, I just kind of pull them off to the side and I'm like, just keep on working hard, man. Keep on working hard. Like, you can, you know, who knows, next testing block, you might end up beating it. That
I
should
like
be
that,
your goal.
That reassurance, you know, to some of those kids. Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah.
And, kind of like, and then on the other end is like the humbling of the other kids. It's like, or even our older athletes, it's like, okay, let's look at, you know, who's our big guy, Trino,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah,
what does he do to get to where he's at? You think he just comes in and screws around? Like,
no, he puts in
like
a stupid amount of work
for real. And like a lot of these guys that are guys and girls that like get to these levels, a lot of times they're grinding for it. Like, you know, and these people on social media and stuff, like, you know, there's a lot of work they put in outside
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
We talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Keep on going.
Yeah, exactly. Because these kids are on social media. They're on YouTube all the time. Like,
yeah.
It's like, which is not a bad thing always, but like what it creates is this, like, you know, you see one kid in a million across the country that is excelling at this level.
Yeah.
And there's so many other kids that are doing a great job and you might be included in that. And like, you just see this and that's like what everybody compares themselves to. Like, I think it, you know, on social media, like it's makes it a lot easier for you to find those like diamond in the rough, like people that are just balling out.
100%.
And then you compare yourself to that and you realize like there's so much good talent out there.
Yeah.
But then you also look at it, like, I think a lot of people look at it as like, it's just an overnight thing.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of times these people are grinding and you don't see all that, or,
yeah,
or maybe they do have some really insane gifts and you just have to work harder.
Yeah.
Or
the, for all of our weightlifting YouTubers,
bodybuilding,
they might be cheating.
Oh yeah, they might be cheating. Yeah, exactly.
That's
be natty, bro.
Yeah, that's another like, you know, loop you got to go through with these kids. It's like, yep. Well, I see these people doing this on YouTube, and I'm like, yeah, he's on YouTube, she's on YouTube, like, they might not be the best role model for you.
Yep.
You know, they may not. It's if somebody's, you know, slamming a bunch of processed food and weighs 240 pounds and has a six pack on top of their, you know, big stomach, there's probably something else going on there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, right. And like, we have so many guys that like get caught up in that,
Yeah.
wanting to be the biggest, and like, you know, it's a natural thing to like want to build muscle
For
and like
sure. You want to
be,
strive
you
for
know,
more, but
yeah,
it's
and like,
just like.
but I think a lot of these dudes just get caught up in like what everyone else looks like, you know, and it
Yeah.
goes on both sides, girls and guys, but like, it can be really easy to cheapen the work you've put in and realize where you're at and the progress you've made,
Yeah.
and
That ties into the genetic potential that we go by. And that's not saying like, because we have some kids up here that may not ever be just freak athletes, but they can strive for so much. And they're, even though like, let's say that a kid's undersized, you know, relatively older or something like that, and we're saying, you know, like our goal is to maximize the genetic potential. Well, they're maybe not, like, negative mindset might think like, oh, well, I'm still never going to be that big. You never know, man. Your maximum genetic potential is a lot more than what you think it is. And you know, with hard work and with all this persistent dedication that you're saying, like, there's so much more that's achievable that you don't realize is achievable.
Totally.
And I don't think that I've ever reached that potential.
I don't think so either.
And you know, I'm not sure how many people really do. You know, it's another diamond in the rough situation, but it's, you know, encouraging these kids to realize like, hey, like, let's worry about maxing you out before you try to strive for somebody who's maxed themselves out.
Totally. Yeah, like what are the small intangibles that we can do
Yeah.
to get you to where, you know, at least the best of what we think you can get at, right? Like the maximizing the individual's genetic potential in every sport is what are you know, what are areas you can do to get better at this? Like, are you sleeping the best you can be? Are you eating the best you can do? Are you training consistently? Are you resting properly? Are you in, you know, doing the things that they're simple, straightforward things, they're just hard to do well.
Are you slamming Coke Zeros?
Yeah. Like yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was so funny. It's like just absolutely need it.
Yeah.
Just like
Neither of us
fiending.
are nutritionists, but
Yeah,
I don't think Coke Zero is probably the best option for you.
yeah.
Or Diet Coke, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like too, is like even us be not being registered, you know, and being able to give this nutrition plan and
Yeah.
everything, like there's basics that people can go by to like live a healthy lifestyle,
I
right?
think
Like,
that me and you always go for it's like whole foods.
yeah. Start
You
with just eating some natural foods and
eat
start
more whole
there.
foods in your life, good things are gonna
Yeah.
happen.
And we, you know, like this month's trigger, like supplementation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there are supplements out there that are valuable and that are trustworthy and that we get behind, but at the baseline, like do the things right in the kitchen first, right? Like,
Yeah, for sure.
and then look into the other things. So I think, yeah, it's like, are you maximizing what you have, first of all, and what's keeping you from doing that?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in a game of numbers, like it's easy for people to get lost in the weeds, right?
Yeah.
They're it's gonna we talk to people a lot of times about like, you know, if you see this like weight, velocity, whatever it is, but if it's starting to trend, that's what we want to see. There's gonna be ups and downs, there's gonna be
Yeah.
months, days, whatever, but is it trending upward over time?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the big things.
I
And
think that's
sometimes
the
people,
key to life in sports and whatever you want to put that in
yeah.
general. It's like there's highs and lows and whatever it is, and it's, you know, how even can you stay?
Yeah.
Because if you're just sitting here riding the highs, the low is going to hit you hard. If you're sitting here riding the lows, you're never going to reach the high. And so if the more and more you can narrow that down instead of being like this, the more and more you can keep it like this, you're always going to be on uphill trends, no matter what. And if you're the same person, I'm definitely not the same person I was 6 years ago when I was a freshman in college.
Yeah, thank the Lord for that,
And
for
it's
me
like
too, yeah.
if you look back and see that you haven't grown, then you know, maybe this is a reevaluation. You need to check back on this graph that you have going.
Yeah, like, are you still making the same excuses? Are you,
Yeah.
yeah, like, I think that's definitely, it's, you got to humble yourself, right? Like, and so, taking a genuine look at, like, am I actually doing the things I need to do to
Yeah.
maximize what I've been given, I think is super important. And
Yeah.
that's like, you know, conversations we have with our athletes is And they're hard conversations, right?
Oh, for sure.
To be able to empower somebody, you got to sometimes challenge them.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of this stuff isn't ever easy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm not great at it. I'm getting better at it, but I think it comes down to, like, you know, caring, right? Like,
yeah.
When somebody knows that you actually care about them, you work hard for them, you want them to succeed, like, they're willing to get behind that a lot.
And that's that respect level that I think that a lot of our athletes have for both of us.
Yeah.
And a lot of our interns that come into it as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I can remember just, this just popped in my mind, but like, I can remember, you know, Dion calling somebody out for skipping reps this summer and it's blazing hot, you know, it's, it feels like 120 in here. Yeah. Dion's probably sweated through two shirts already and he's just juiced military guy. And he's calls this, you know, calls this kid out for skipping reps. And he does it in a great way. He's like, "Hey man, don't you have two more or something like that?" And he's like, "Yeah, I do." He's like, "All right, man, let's get back after it. Let's go."
Heck yeah!
And that's pretty cool too, to see the level of respect that a lot of our interns get to whenever they truly buy into our culture, buy into the process. Like, these kids buy into them as well.
So. I love that, especially. It's been seldom where I've had to actually like get on people for the way they act with the interns too.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I feel like a lot of times the kids, they know not to go there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and they're really sad when they leave.
yeah. Which is so cool.
Yeah.
We've had some really solid ones and, you know, people that, you know, what happened to so-and-so? Like, and so, and that's a product of our principles too, right? Like we want to teach them our principles and how to coach well, what it looks like to be a coach, what, you know, your philosophy, your mentality, how you treat people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's valuable to be knowledgeable about your field for sure, but at the end of the day too, like, how are you leading people?
Yeah, 100%.
Are you humble to grow and things like that? So yeah, it's been nice to see that, how they respect us and then also how the athletes respect them.
Yeah.
And we create that.
I think that, like, or what do you think would be the easiest ways to describe these three E's? Like, what are three other words you could use that would be like, you know, I empower by doing this, I encourage by doing this, I equip by doing this?
I think certainly being, you know, building up our athletes, like, it takes, you got to lay foundation.
Yeah.
You know, like, I guess the word building up, you know, like raising up, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, kind of, if you look at like our manifesto, we have our piers, pillars, and our penthouse. And I think to be able to create a structure to build an athlete, to build up an athlete, like, I think the triple E's go into all that, like, what it takes to actually construct, you know, a quality life in an athlete. Like, you need those foundations. And so it's like, you know, like we said, that you when you're putting in a building, you build the piers, you take care of the foundation first, because everything, you know, if you're
relies on that,
you build your life on a firm foundation, right? Like, you know, build on sand, it's gonna get washed away.
Yeah.
Build on rock, like, you're gonna be solid
for sure.
And so I think doing the small things really well, and starting with that, and then getting into the glitz and glam, you know, the you know, having good foundational principles you go by, and then building from there in the things that culminate to, you know, let's say their senior year, they're getting picked up, they're getting drafted, whatever that looks like. There's steps that, you know, you started, like, for example, I've only been here, you know, a little less than 2 years now, and I get to hear stories from like Mo, Kevin, about like kids that started here when they were 12 and now they're 15, 16 years old, or started in different programs around that
time.
Yeah,
seeing before and after pictures of kids is pretty crazy.
It's very cool. Because, like, there's an element of natural, like, you're going to grow.
Yeah.
Just by getting
older. But these kids are growing to genetic freaks.
But these kids are, yeah, right? exactly. And how are we getting them there? Yeah, exactly. They're training. They're working hard.
And they love it here. They never leave.
Yeah, totally. And, like, you see the kids that take it seriously and, like, how that works. But, like, we've had some really solid transformations. And, I mean, two kids last year that we had that, among others for sure, but like two kids that came in around the same time and ended up both putting on 40 plus pounds and
Yeah,
just
that's insane.
becoming animals. Like, and so a lot of that was the hard work they put in outside of the gym too, like eating and things like that.
Yeah.
But our goal is to challenge them and put them in positions to do that well. So yeah, it's I think build up is just another great word for that. Build up, rise up, whatever you want to, construct. Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
I think for me, it's I equip myself through prayer, and through communication. And I think that, that applies to our athletes too, because I pray for our athletes all the time. And, I'm a kind of person that doesn't really think that prayer has to be super, super intense, super long conversations. It could just be, Lord, bless this player today, bless this person, help me lead them, and that's it.
Yeah.
I think that,
You're just times of thanks and yeah. Yeah.
I think that I equip myself by doing that. I empower myself and others just by my way of leadership, I think. And like what you're saying, the level of respect that I show and that I give, and I think that that's empowering in itself. And also being willing to talk about my testimony, because my testimony is pretty crazy, and like just the series of events that happened through college in my life, and
Yeah.
I think is encouraging to kids. And I get asked all the time, like, where did you go to school? How did you do? What did you do? And I don't have the coolest success story ever, but I think that it's looking back at it now, I can see a lot of success in a lot of different ways other than baseball. And
Yeah, especially just your willingness to continue to push through. I
yeah,
think
for
that's
sure.
a testimony in itself, for
Yeah.
sure.
And I think that that's like, I was talking to an athlete the other day, and I actually had a chance to pray with him, which is really cool.
Yeah, nice.
And it's like, baseball is a game and I love it. And it was a lot of fun, but I learned a lot more than just baseball because of baseball. I learned how to be a man, how to persevere, how to be dedicated to a process, and I
Yeah.
think that like I told you brought up marriage earlier. It's like if we're my belief is that we're called to be as much like Christ as possible, or we're striving for this greatness. And so I want my marriage to be great, I want my career to be great, I want my impact to be great, I want my leadership to be great. And if I'm called to, love Gracie like God loved the church, that's probably never humanly possible for any of us to achieve that amount of success. But why not go for it? Why not try? And what's the worst that can happen? A great marriage? That sounds sick. So, like, yeah. So I think that like, I try to empower these kids just by being me, and by encouraging them to be them, because their identity is more than whatever their sport is.
Yeah.
Their identity and in my opinion, what's most important, what God says they are, is a lot bigger than baseball. The word baseball. It's a lot bigger words that you could use to describe a person.
Yeah.
And I think that equip, encourage. I encourage athletes just by trying to build them up,
Yeah.
trying to talk to them, try to again c cultivate a relationship, continue to grow in our culture, make our culture known, which I think both of us do a great job at. And I think that those are just, the would be like my kind of three ways. And of course, I think that that blends in with your answer, is just we have it right there. Set up for us, it's set up for a lot of success. And I think that, we have these locations all around, and it's more than just a gym. It's more than just a lot of people associate us with baseball, but it's, every sport.
Yeah.
It's more than just one thing. And I think that that's what truly separates us from everybody else, because everybody else has their one thing. We have a model, and that's our one thing, and our
Yeah.
model is huge,
Yeah, the fact that like we could have six different locations and each one has separate kind of focus,
yeah,
or location, literally because of
yeah
cities
yeah, yeah.
or whatever. But even like what, like some of them are in a school, a yeah. college,
warehouse,
where yeah, whatever. right, whatever that looks like, and they're still consistency across the board of like what's being done and why we do what we do.
Yeah,
even though there's different ways of carrying it out in some ways. So